So welcome. It's good to see all of your faces this morning. I see a couple of you are together and are accessing the service that way. So wonderful. My plan today is to leave the meeting open for about 15 minutes after worship. If people want to stick around for a time of fellowship, we will plan to do that. As far as other announcements go, please continue to send your donations into the church as you are able. We have somebody that is checking the mail at both churches daily, so don't worry about it sitting in the mailbox for too long. Especially during this time of crisis and uncertainty, your donations are allowing us to continue to pay the staff and maintain our building. So thank you, and please continue to do so. So at this time, I don't yet know when we are going to transition back into in-person worship. The session and I are monitoring the governor's recommendations. I think this week we're starting to see glimmers of hope that we may be on the second part of this crisis, which is good. And as soon as we get some guidelines for when we can start thinking and planning for the new normal, we will let you all know. All right, at this time we are going to begin our worship service with our prelude. Thank you, Mark. We are going to transition to the sharing of our joys and concerns. I will share with you what I've collected over the week, and then I will invite you to either unmute yourself and share your joy and concern, or send it to me through the chat. So I wanted to update everyone on Suzanne Connors. She is at home. She is recovering from her pneumonia and from COVID-19. I believe she's doing better now that she's home, but still, you know, this is a process. So please keep her in your prayers. This week, we will continue to pray for healthcare professionals and essential workers. I believe it's Monday, the governor has released new criteria for employers of essential businesses. So now you have to wear a face mask at work. You must maintain social distancing. All of those things that were suggestions before are now becoming guidelines. Another thing that I think we should pray for is for people who are experiencing mental health challenges because of either having to shelter at home or of becoming unemployed or underemployed. And then all of the stresses of adjusting to this new way of being. So we will pray for that. Also, continue to pray for educators who are transitioning to online learning. I believe that all school districts will be transitioning to online learning come Monday. I think Pittsburgh Public School hasn't yet, and Monday will be the first day that they will be doing that. I was FaceTiming with my aunt last night, who is a public school teacher, and she was just kind of sharing just the insurmountable challenges they're having with transitioning to online learning. So I'm sure they could use our extra prayers. Also this week, they released some new statistics about Americans who are now unemployed and underemployed. When I wrote this prayer request, the number was at 22 million. I'm sure it's higher than that because I think these statistics are like 2 weeks backlogged. So yeah, even with all of the aid that is available right now, many, many families are struggling with un and underemployment. So we will pray for them. All right, what else can we be praying for?
Hello?
Yep.
Yeah, this is Connie. There's a praise report because my sister did all the situations through the courts, I guess, on the phone or online or something. So they're supposed to have the closing for the house on Monday, and the guy is supposed to be buying it. He's a single dad with a six-year-old daughter. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely. We will pray that that sale goes through without issue.
Yes, I'd appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, wanted to make sure I pressed the right button. I need a couple prayer requests and then one praise request. Caitlin Covert, a neighbor of mine who is one of my very dear friends since kindergarten, her daughter Caitlin was in a car accident the other day, and she ended up with a severe concussion. So prayers that she recovers from that. And my mom is still having really bad breathing issues. We're hoping it's not getting to be cardiac related. So prayers that that she has more good days than bad. And I have a praise request, sort of. Jonathan, my youngest boy, is turning 18 on Tuesday. So all of my children are officially grown up, even though don't act it. So prayers that he ends up being as wonderful as he already is.
Wonderful. So we'll pray for Caitlin, who was in a car accident. We'll pray for your mom with her breathing issues, and we will wish Jonathan a happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yep.
So I'll kind of share a praise request and a prayer request for the Air Force Academy class of 2020 that graduated yesterday. The most unusual graduation in Air Force Academy history. All the lower classmen were sent home. The parents could not attend, so it was live streamed. So threw their hats up, they put their face mask on. So that was pretty unusual.
Wow. Well, I'm glad they were able to graduate, and I'm glad that they were able to come up with a creative way to mark that celebration.
The other interesting thing about yesterday was it was the 78th anniversary of the Doolittle raid on Tokyo.
We will remember that in our prayers as well. Any other prayer requests? All right, we will lift these up a little bit later in our service. At this time, I invite you to join with me in our call to worship. This is the message I have heard from him, and now celebrate with you. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Blessed are you who have not seen him, yet you truly believe and trust him. See how good and delightful it is when Christians gather together as one. The Lord has commanded a great blessing, life forevermore. At this time, I invite you to join with us in our opening hymn. We're going to be singing Thine is the Glory. The lyrics will be on the screen, and Mickey is going to play while we are all muted, but you can sing along at home. Go ahead, Mickey. Friends, please join with me in our prayer of confession. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image, through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Hear the good news. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Join with me now as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence, he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us now quiet our hearts and our minds for our anthem.
My Savior and my God.
Friends, please join me in prayer. Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, you taught us to pray and to offer our petitions to you in his name. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, that our prayers for others may serve your will and show your steadfast love. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray for our world. Lord, as we live in the midst of this global pandemic, we pray that we as a world would come up with new ways to imagine how we do our life together. We pray that as each country devises strategies for lifting stay-at-home orders and lockdowns, we pray that you would give wisdom to our leaders as they balance economic and social prosperity to fighting to contain this virus. Lord, this morning we also pray for the church. We pray for our churches at Mount Nebo and Glenshaw Valley. We pray that you would continue to give our leaders wisdom as we discern new ways of being the church while we are apart from each other. Lord, today we also lift up to you our Orthodox brothers and sisters as they celebrate Easter this morning. Lord, we also pray for those who govern us. Lord, we don't envy the task that you have given our governors, our state representatives, our senators, and our president. Lord, the task before them, there are no right and there are no easy solutions. We pray that you would give them patience. We pray that you would give them courage as they make unpopular decisions. And we pray that you would help them to prioritize the health and safety of those they govern. Lord, we also pray for our world leaders. We pray that you would give them creativity as they fight to contain the virus within their countries, but also as they work with other world leaders to develop best strategies. Lord, this morning we also pray for the sick. Lord, we pray for the 1,007 residents of Allegheny County that are currently fighting the coronavirus. We pray that you would be with the friends and families of the 47 residents who have passed away. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with Suzanne Connors as she recovers at home from the coronavirus. We pray that you would be with Caitlin, Kathy's neighbor's daughter, as she recovers from her car accident. We also pray that you would be with Kathy's mom as she struggles with breathing issues. But Lord, in the midst of all of this uncertainty, we have joys to lift up to you this morning. We celebrate with Jonathan as he prepares to turn 18 this week. We give you thanks that the Air Force Academy graduation was able to happen, even though it happened in an unusual way. Lord, we remember the 78th anniversary of the raid on Tokyo this morning. And personally, Lord, I thank you that my tumble just resulted in a sprained foot, not a broken foot. And I thank you that I am able to recover at my mom's. In silence now, let us lift our personal prayers to the Father. God of compassion, we ask that you would bless us and those we love, our friends and our families, that drawing close to you, we may be drawn closer to each other, though we are apart, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, I have put our questions there on the screen, our questions to be reflecting on for the offertory. I also put them in the chat if that is helpful too. We're going to take about 5 minutes to reflect on how we have experienced the presence of Jesus during this period of isolation, but also in these unpredictable times as we sit to notice what are signs of peace and hope for you. right. I am in a minute going to invite Arlie to unmute herself to do the scripture reading. Would somebody like to volunteer to be the scripture reader next week? If you could unmute yourself and say me, that would be helpful. Sandy, was that you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right, Sandy, I will email you the scripture reading next week, and the scripture reading will be here on the screen. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Arlie, if you could do our scripture reading, that would be great.
Good morning. This morning's scripture comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first of the day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This ends the reading of today's word.
Thank you, Arlie. Friends, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Earlier this week, I had coffee with a friend via FaceTime. As we chatted, it became very clear to me that she is barely holding it together right now. In fact, she was chatting for me from her bedroom where she had closed and locked the door to get a little bit of a break from her kids. Her husband is a contractor. He isn't able to work right now. She said they can cover their bills for now, but she's worried what the summer is going to look like. Her kids have been home with her now for over a month. Last week, their school sent home packets of homework for them to complete each day, which means that she has had to put the girls on a schedule because all three of them can't be on the computer at the same time. She's working from home as a real estate agent, but she can't show houses right now. And her boss keeps scheduling these mandatory happy hours at 2 o'clock to boost morale. The problem is that this is exactly when her daughter is supposed to be online taking a math test. She told me that most days she just wants to hide under the covers because maybe then she'll get a break from the dogs and the kids and the mortgage payments. Does her situation sound familiar to you even if you aren't sheltering at home with little kids or scrambling to cover your bills because of un- or underemployment, or recovering from the coronavirus, or caring for someone who's recovering. Everyone's lives are hard right now. We're all being asked to sacrifice. Our lives today look completely different than they did 6 weeks ago. We're worried about our jobs, our families, and our futures. We're wondering when or even if things will return to normal. In many ways, our lives look more like the disciples did on that evening of the first Easter day than they ever did before. Huddled together behind a locked door. While we're socially distancing from a virus, the disciples are hiding from the leaders who were behind the plot to kill Jesus. Like us, the disciples are likely afraid for their lives and afraid for their uncertain futures. They're scared to leave their homes and they're wondering what's going to happen next. In our scripture reading for this morning, we learned that Jesus isn't stopped by fear or by locked doors. He came to the home of the disciples and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." See, Jesus comes not to confront his disciples with their failures, of the ways they denounce him or abandon him during his arrest and crucifixion, but they come to grant them peace. A week later, Jesus appears to Thomas, one of the 12, who was not with the disciples when Jesus came. Thomas demands that Jesus show up for him, just like Jesus showed up for the other disciples. Thomas says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were, and put my fingers in his side, I will not believe." Once Thomas sees Jesus' hand and feels Jesus' side, he stops doubting and he believes. The story of Thomas is kind of the prototype of what Christian discipleship looks like, or of how people came to faith in Jesus. First, one person, in this case, Mary Magdalene, sees Jesus. She then goes and she tells the disciples about her encounter. Initially, the disciples doubt that she really saw Jesus. It isn't until they have an encounter with the risen Lord that they are able to believe. And once they believe, they are able to go and tell others about him. And so it goes until the gospel is shared with every nation and peoples. Friends, I believe that the good news of this Easter season we're in is this. Well, I believe that there are two bits of good news. The first is that no matter the wrenching chaos of the world, no matter where or how or even if we mark this day, Easter happens. Easter happens in an empty tomb. Easter happens in the space between ourselves and our computer screens. Easter will happen as we transition to whatever our new normal looks like. Just as Jesus found the disciples on that first Easter morning, Jesus will continue to find us behind our locked doors, and Jesus will continue to offer us peace. The second bit of good news is that everyone doubts, but not everyone believes. I think this is good news for those of us who are maybe struggling to see God at work in the midst of a global pandemic. Thomas teaches us that faith is not always believing in that which we cannot see. It is hanging in there with some level of interest and commitment until Jesus moves us to the next level. Friends, like many of you, this week I've been reflecting on what faith looks like in the midst of a global pandemic. For me, faith looks a lot like hanging in there, of taking each day as it comes, of developing a routine and of trying to set small goals, of being patient with myself and with those I'm interacting with, of remaining unwaveringly hopeful that we are going to get through this, while at the same time confronting difficult realities. Of being okay with saying, I don't know, while at the same time saying, but I'm not going anywhere. This week during our offering time, I asked us all to reflect on where we see signs of hope during these unpredictable times. Please continue to share your thoughts with me on this. Send me an email or a text message. I'd love to hear what you've learned. The reason that I had us do this is because we're all feeling some degree of doubt right now. We're all angry with God, with each other, with this stupid virus. It's difficult to see God at work when you're just trying to make it through the day. But even in the middle of a bad day, there are signs of hope. This is why I asked you to reflect on where you've experienced the presence of Jesus during this period of isolation. Maybe you experienced Jesus in the quiet moments with your kids that you missed when everyone was running around to their practices and play dates. Maybe you experienced Jesus in the phone calls from friends and families calling to check up on you. Maybe a stranger dropped off toilet paper or food or a bottle of wine when you were at the end of your rope. I experienced Jesus this week when I had to go to MedExpress to get my foot x-rayed, and because people were staying at home, MedExpress wasn't overwhelmed, and I was able to be seen quickly and confirm that it was just a sprain and that I hadn't broken my foot. Friends, what I love about our scripture reading for this morning is that Thomas doesn't just doubt, he demands. He demands that Jesus show himself and answer his questions. Even in doubt, he expects that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is powerful, and that Jesus cares for his people. He doesn't use his doubt to refuse to ask Jesus the hard questions. Instead, he uses his doubt to demand Jesus remain with him, remind him who he is and whose he is. Demanding that Jesus show up is one way that Thomas holds on to hope in the midst of uncertain times. Friends, my hope for us this week is that even in doubt, we would be willing to demand some resurrection hope, to demand that God show up for the hurting, the feverish, the unemployed, the grieving, the new moms of this lonely new world, and to wash over us with the good news of Easter. The news that Jesus is alive, and for that we have hope, and for that we celebrate. Because of Easter, we have hope that Good Friday will not last forever, even and especially in the midst of a global pandemic. Friends, my hope for us this week is that we would be able to go out into this week living into that hope that in the midst of strange and uncertain times, let us try in all that we are and in all that we do extend the peace of Christ with those we interact with, either at home, in line at the grocery store, or in the middle of a Zoom meeting. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to join with me for our closing hymn. We are going to sing, "We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight." Go ahead, Mickey. Friends, let me say a word of blessing as we go about our day. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen. Thank you, Mark, and thank you for everyone who participated in our worship service for today. Cliff is going to post the recording of this service on our website a little bit later in the day. I will see you all back this time next week. Go in peace. If you want to stick around, we will keep the meeting running until about 11:15-ish.